Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, pounding off. Happy coronavirus party Friday. We're going to have a great show. Patrick Neville. We're going to have Randy Corcoran, the lawsuit that Patrick is bringing, and guess all of you. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I want to let people know you can always call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. If you want to listen in on Zoom, the Zoom number is 209-876-423. You can find that at the chuckandjulie.com site. And also you can catch all the podcasts and everything on YouTube. Show today brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, a great website, Colorado's conservative voice. They had a survey up, Chuck, where they asked people, you know, are you going to comply with the mask mandate? Yeah, 97% of the people said no.
Well, they had some great articles on the whole mask thing. And so really, I mean, you know, now the Colorado politics has gone full Denver Post.
Yeah.
You know, finding a conservative website is not easy in Colorado, and Colorado Citizen Press is the place you need to go.
That's right. So talking today about the mask mandate issued by Governor Polis, certainly it was not the science that convinced him, because just a matter of days ago, he was saying it was completely unenforceable. That's why he wasn't going to do it. And he was noting that there are some communities in Colorado where they haven't had any cases or deaths or hospitalizations.
Well, go back yesterday.
Right.
All of Colorado, there was one purported death, and most of them were purported. If you ever had coronavirus anytime, you die 6 months later or 3 months later, they don't care. It's coronavirus death, but only one of those. And so the idea that you're forced to give out a mass mandate because you're testing more and therefore you're finding more COVID, I mean, it's asinine. It is asinine.
Well, and we're going to go, I'm texting Randy Corcoran right now. I have to tell him, give him our number.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to go over some of the numbers, because I think that's, hang on a second, I can't talk and do all this.
All right, well, I'll talk. We'll just take Julie off of here. We don't need that.
Oh, thank goodness. No, I'm done. Thank you for communicating live podcast.
Now you want to talk. Let's go to Father Hugh. He's on line one, and we've got this big request for Father Hugh, so I have to get him on right now. Father Hugh,
hey.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm here.
You're here.
Hello.
Hello. You were in demand yesterday.
Let me tell him.
Oh, I'm
Julie.
Sorry. Okay.
God. Go ahead.
Well, Charlotte, forgive me. It's been ages, and
I know.
For whatever reason, somehow, you know, it's a combination of things. I don't have much good to say about anything these days. And I mean, it's insanity. All of that. But then mercifully, Charlene called me yesterday and said, you know, you got to call in and talk to Chuck and Julie and Chuck. So I'm here. And yes, I heard about the request.
Exactly.
It wasn't a request. It's almost a pleading.
Right.
From a radio host, Mark Griffin, who's just a great guy, And he's on KLZ 560 from 1 to 2 every day. And he said it'd be the greatest day of his life if you'd call in and talk to him. So, yeah, I mean, no bigger compliment.
But if you do, then we get a cut of the royalties,
yeah, well,
okay? 10%. Yeah, because we're the agents kind of setting this up.
Yeah, well, I know that Julie is in her agency mode.
Right.
And so we'll work a deal with Mark. And just to let you know, I tried this afternoon, and I called in to Mark's show, but he had some lawyer on. And
yeah, we can't avoid those.
You can't get that.
And you know how lawyers are. Oh, God, you know. And so I listened, and then I thought, well, I'll call in at 2 o'clock. But then I quickly learned that it's one to two.
Right.
I will
right,
do that.
Right. All right. Well, he'll be thrilled.
You've got us. Yeah, we're glad. So let me ask you, what we're going to be talking to Patrick about is Patrick Neville has launched a website. It's called StopTheMask.com, and he is filing a lawsuit through Randy Corcoran to go ahead and sue the governor, saying you don't have the authority to do this kind of thing. What's your take on all of that, Hugh?
Well, I'll do a little legal thing first, but then, I always thought that for any legislative or governmental action, there had to be a rational basis.
Makes
and
sense to me.
That's the law piece. And that it would be constitutionally vulnerable if a piece didn't have a rational basis. I happen to be one of those people who think that this thing from soup to nuts was a fraud.
Yeah, yes. I'm coming to that opinion myself.
I thought it from the beginning, Hugh.
Julie thought it in the beginning, but luckily we shut her up. So.
Oh, so here we are. Hugh, if they'd listened to you and me from the beginning, we wouldn't be here.
Well, I mean, the mask is a hoax. The models were hoaxes. And then, of course, my favorite, Fauci.
Yeah.
the living hoax. I thought if I were of an entrepreneurial sort, I'd invent a whack-a-mole game, but it would be whack-a-Fauci, so that every time he popped up, because he keeps popping up, and you say to him, well, I spoke to the Blessed Virgin, and she said she's going to come down and cancel the whole COVID thing. And the typical, the Fauci response would be, well, that's an illegal juncture of church and state. You can't do it. In other words, an insane reason. And it's the lying.
Right.
The hydroxyquinoline or whatever.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah.
Right. It's good. Yeah. Well, here's the latest thing. We wanted to go over some of the numbers, Hugh, and so some of the latest things we're finding out now is that the testing, various testing sites, we saw in Florida where they were reporting 100% positive rate because they were only reporting the positive results, right? Turns out the rate is actually more like around 10%. But one of the things they're also doing, which really inflates it, is they're apparently including now a positive antibody. So if you have an antibody for this in your system, they're counting you as having being tested positive for COVID. I wasn't sure what that meant, so I looked it up before the show. You could have had literally the same virus causes a cold, the common cold. So you could have the cold antibodies in your system, and they're going to be listing you as testing positive for coronavirus. The way I put it, you, it's like this. It'd be like if we started talking about people in car crashes every day, right? And then you list all of the people who were in the car. You list all of the people
and
in
should
their
they
family.
Die 2 years later, you say, well, it could have been complications of a car crash. We don't know, but we'll call them a car crash.
Well, and you call everybody who was in their family, all of their friends, everyone who saw the car crash.
Everyone was on the highway at the time.
Everyone was on the highway at the time. I mean, it's just
the whole thing, as you're pointing out, Hugh, is the whole thing's a fraud. And here's my real complaint. There's nobody out there to tell you. I mean,
it's us,
but if we said this on 710 KNUS, I promise you, we'd be thrown off the air again for the umpteenth time.
Look, here comes the bouquet. For a long while, even before you left them, you were the only one anyway, where you would get my favorite specifics and facts, Julie has the reporter gene. She'll get every last living fact. It's astounding. The lying and the self-interest.
Yes.
But I don't mind the lying because I understand lying. We're both lawyers here. We understand lying. And I don't mind the exaggeration. What I hate is the lack of pushback. I mean, thank God for the Patrick Nevilles and the Randy Corcorans. But every Fox show from, the last 3 hours, because you don't want Neil Cavuto or something, because he just never Trumper. But those 3 hours should say, hey, look, folks, they're conning you. There is no massive epidemic. There aren't, 1,000 people dying a day. The new cases are this, if you're 85 years old and have comorbidities and you get a cold, it is 11 times, 11% of the time you'll die. I mean, yeah, if you're old and have all comorbidities, you're going to die at some point.
At something.
And so the idea that we're going to destroy our economy.
And then the hospital will report that you died of the virus.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, the whole thing, soup to nuts, has been, the way I put it, everywhere I look, I see stupidity and lying.
Yes.
And it,
and as you said,
with deference to you. And by the way, don't let me forget, I love your latest in the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle about the judge.
Judge Armitage?
Judge Armadas.
Armadas.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, you just say, is there anything that's sacred in this world? And not a lot. And
well, so if people don't know, we ran a headline story. There's a complaint filed by a woman, and you know, she talked about how the judge had come on to her and saying, you know, you look hot, you like things dirty. So Denver went out and got an employment group that covers those things, covers them up.
And they fired her.
And they said, oh yeah, all these women are saying he's after them. He's in his 70s, right? He's been divorced 3 times. He's in his 70s. And then some 35-year-old woman walks by and you're, hey, hubba, hubba, all right.
Allegedly. Anyway, so they fire her, right?
Yeah, they fire her.
So there you go. It's like,
is that what happened?
Yes. Yeah. And so she's suing
us. The way of the world.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Well, look at Mayor Hancock. Look at the mayor, right? It's like, listen, we're going to let you go. Thank you. We're going to have to start booking you to call in or sending out the bad
signal.
Talk to your agent.
I'll be responsible.
Yeah, you're getting so many calls in begging radio hosts, bidding for your call.
Well, you know, when you're a celebrity chick magnet.
That does it.
Hugh, thank you. It's great to hear from you.
Old
appreciate
fool,
it.
No fool like an old fool. Bye.
Goodbye.
Take care.
Well, here's, you know, I did want to go. And thank you, Hugh, for, I think you meant that nicely, the reporter, Gene. Here's, because I wanted to go over the facts, because I think there are two things that people need to understand. One is the fear that they're spreading, right? That they're completely hyping up the cases. They're over-reporting it. They're cheating on the reporting. But that's just say, because this is something nobody talks about. What happens if you get the coronavirus, right? It's so fearful. So I did some research on this, and granted, it's hard to find exact numbers because they're all over the place. But roughly, okay, the infection rate, okay, that's with all the cheating, is I would think it's fair to say you see anywhere from 4 to 11%.
Well, but you see higher numbers than that.
Right, but for the most part, like they were saying with the Florida stuff, if you correct it, that's just roughly 10%. So we're gonna take 10%. So what that means is
10% of the population is
good. Well, that's just put it for 1,000 people to put it in numbers you can
put
get your head around.
Make it more.
I can't do that kind of math. Oh. Chuck, I'm a reporter, stop, don't.
They don't do math.
So we do not. So out of 1,000 people, right, and you check my math if I'm right, that means 900 of them don't have coronavirus. 900 of the people, if you test 1,000 people, 900 of them are going to be just fine, nothing in it. The 100 people are going to test positive. So the question is so your odds of actually even getting it are really low. And common sense tells you that, right? This is like the common flu. How many people do you know in a season that get the flu? How often do you get the flu, right? It's not something that happens constantly. The other thing that I want to point out is, so then what happens, let's say, if you are one of those unlucky 100 people, 80% of them, so 80 of them are going to be just fine, so fine they don't even need to seek medical attention, okay? Of the 20 people who need to seek medical attention, roughly like less than 1% of them will die. So that means not even like a whole person, like 0.2 will die. So out of the 1,000 being tested, 0.2, okay, will actually die. And of that 0.2, almost exclusively, all of them have, as you said, are older than 80, and they have two or three comorbid other problems.
Well,
in other words,
and everybody
very,
has
very
a different,
sick.
Just like the influenza, it depends the toxic doses you get. And I mean, you know, the Prime Minister of Britain got it and he had to be hospitalized. So you don't want to get it. And if you can avoid getting it, you want to avoid getting it. But that is true of a lot of things
right.
in life.
You don't
wanna destroy everybody's life because you don't want to get a flu. I mean, it's flu is bad. You don't want to close every highway until there are no more fatal crashes.
Or even crashes crash. I mean, that's the thing. It'd be one thing if it was just fatal. It'd be like closing the highway by, like I said, by counting anyone who knew anyone who'd been in a car accident, whether it was a fender bender or a horrible rollover.
But why do you think, Julie, that the press, and I mean, not the mainstream press,
Trump,
not the corporate press, I understand. They think this is and it is. He's watched his numbers go down, so they keep
it's
on
working.
Counting it. But why does Fox, at least those parts of Fox that are pro-Trump, why does the Wall Street Journal, at least the editorial page, why Gateway Pundit, why, God, I can't think of all the sites, but you know, none of them are pounding it. This has turned into a scam.
Well, because here's, I'll tell you why. Because
why?
They start banning you. You know, the other day I was trying
to... They can't ban you from their own show.
Well, all right. Yeah, well, I guess I would disagree with you a little bit in that this is where I get the information, right? Some of those sites
do. Well, I know, but it's this big. I mean, yes, you can find things on Gateway Pundit, and you can find it on some, but it's, you know, one or 20. It ought to be the article. It ought to be, look, we're getting we're destroying our economy
over this. And the numbers aren't real. That's
well,
about this.
One person died yesterday. No people in Colorado died July 2nd, none July 3rd, none. One person yesterday, and he demands a mask mandate. What if another one dies? Do we all have to commit Harry Caray? I mean, it's obscene.
We got Barney on line one. And Mark, I see you kind of popped your video in. So after Barney, if you want to go ahead and unmute your, I think that's a word, unmute yourself. All right, perfect. Barney, welcome to the show. Oh, Barney, before you.
Barney!
I got to tell you what, somebody stole your idea for a campaign ad yesterday or Wednesday when you were saying somebody should take that video of the state capitol and turn it into a campaign ad. I saw one, a candidate by the name of Mike Lynch.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I doubt that they took my idea. I think somebody probably had that before me, but that's awesome.
But no, I think it's just you,
Barney. By the way, we love Hugh. Hugh, you're the best. And Charlene, you could call in a little more often too. But is this Mark guy? Is he the Mark guy that used to call you guys from Parker? Is that Mark from Parker?
No. The Mark.
This guy's actually a rhino.
Mark here?
No, that Mark.
No, the Mark on the Mark on
Mark
Zoom.
Lynch.
No, the Mark
Lynch.
That's on the radio guy that you guys were talking about at one.
Oh, Mark Griffith. No, he's great. He's on 560 KLZ.
I think he did used to call us sometimes.
Well, I know. But
yeah, he did. You're
guys,
right. You're
there was
right,
a Mark that used to call. Yeah, that's him. That's what I thought. See, he always made me look good because I sound like a butt clown, and then he'd call up and say, "Yeah, Barney's kind of right about this or that." So I was always glad when Mark called. But by the way, Chuck and Julie, you know what you guys are? You guys are a controlled domestic argument every day. That's what you guys are, because obviously you love each other. Chuck would like to hit you, Julie, but he won't. And Julie, Chuck would like to strangle the life out of you, but she don't. But I think that's why we like you guys. You're a effing hoot.
Well, it's real. It's
the
real.
The best thing? Oh, I know. It's real as hell. By the way, Bandemir, you know what this did to me? Bandemir gets banned. I decide, you know what? I'm going to Bandemir. I'm going to take as many kids with me for the Mile High Nationals. Now I got a wild bug up my butt to go buy a pro stock bike, because I look at these pro stock riders. They're either women or they're little twitty dudes. So I might not be as fast as the big boys. 58 years old. I haven't been on a bike in 28 years since my daughter was born, but we're going to light it up. We won't do it at Bandemir this year, but just so you know, not only has this ticked me off, it made me go buy a bike. I got money.
No, that's good, Barry. Prolong your life.
I hope
you
if I kill myself, guess what? It's okay.
Hey,
that's
if you
right.
need a
it'll
pit
be
crew.
A COVID death.
Yeah. If you need a pit crew out there, we'll help you out.
It'll be a COVID.
All right.
You'll do what? A pit crew?
Yeah, we'll be.
Chuck and Julie, have you guys ever watched Top Fuel?
Yeah, on television.
Okay. You need to drag Rev out. Has Rev ever seen him?
I don't think so.
Seen what?
No. Top Fuel.
Guess what? I bet he'd want to do Top Fuel. You guys got to get him out there. You got to get him out there. He's got to hit. Everybody,
well, if the hideous assholes and Jeff go to shut him down. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's crazy. But I'll tell you, those Top Fuel, there is nothing like it in the world. In the first, just keep this in mind. I'm going to let you go. 20 feet from the time they leave the line, 20 feet, they're doing 130 miles an hour.
Wow.
It's just unreal. There's nothing else like it in the world.
I'm kind of like that.
At the other end.
I do that in the express lane.
Yeah.
I have to say, no, I'm kidding. Hey, Barney, thank you.
I know you drive. I'm sure you drive like crap. Love both you guys. But love Father, you tell us early in the call. Mark, we'll be listening to you too. buddy. See you, Barney.
Thank you, Barney. Talk to you later. Barney. All right, that's spring. We've got Randy Corbin, I think, is going to be standing by. But in the meantime, we've got Mark coming through us on Zoom. Hey, Mark, thank you for joining us. Unmute yourself. There you go.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, Julie.
Hi there.
I'm sorry I got in late on your show today. You didn't talk about what's been on Facebook with Trump, have you? About a way to end this in a hurry. I want to read this real quick. It says, we the people of the United States demand that the public office holders, senators, House representatives, governors, and mayors be denied pay during this disaster. They made the choice to stop the pay of millions of Americans and should be held to the exact same standard. We as United States citizens want them to not receive pay until this is over, period.
Well, add to your list all the school teachers that don't want to teach kids but still want to get paid in New York and everywhere else. You could add them to your resolution.
I want to add them. I also want to add all non-essential state, city, and county employees.
Right.
And essential ones.
Well, anyone that doesn't have to show up to work. If you're not showing up to work,
you're not essential.
We want bus drivers to go to work, the administrators don't need to show up.
No.
And we want them to go through the process of having to decide who's essential and who isn't essential.
That's right.
I think that would really be – I'd like to be on the inside and watch that happen.
Yeah,
exactly.
In my career, I actually was on the inside when they made those decisions, and it is fun to watch. So, but I think we really, really need to push that because they're sitting back with their pay. They're getting paid all the time.
Right.
And they want us to wear masks and they want us to do everything in the world. I heard somebody a while ago say that they were going to start taxing masks so that they demand we wear them and they wanted $5 a piece or something for them.
That's
in
coming.
Tax. And I'm like, I know it's coming. But I really think if they get laid off, I was a state employee, and I can tell you it'll get their attention.
You know,
they'll stop doing this in a hurry.
But you got a text from Santa saying, yes, I love it. No pay for politicians, teachers, et cetera, et cetera. So
it really would be. I was at a meeting on Tuesday and two of the city council people, one was a Denver school teacher and the other was at the university. And they were all for masks. They didn't care businesses were closed down. They didn't care that employees were let off. They hadn't lost a penny. They were just
it was a vacation.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Mark, it's a good idea. When you get that, put it on Facebook and we'll help spread it, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
We got to let you go. We got Randy coming here, so thank you.
All right.
And you know, as we got Randy, and I love what Mark did, you guys. Anyone can do that too on Zoom. The Zoom number is 209-576-423. But if you want to comment, all you got to do is mute and unmute yourself. And now we have on Randy Corcoran, who is
the lawyer for all freedom fighters.
He's bought a downtown office building.
Yeah, he controls, large sections of land.
But that's right. You're bigger than Brownstein right now. Hey, Randy, thank you for your time as always.
I heard the Capitol building was available cheap.
Yeah. Takes a little renovation, though, a lot of cost.
Poor condition.
Yeah, really.
It's going to be, you're right. The state capital is in a blighted zone.
It is a blighted zone.
Horrible down there.
So there's only about 80 things I want to talk to you about. But the number one thing I hear is that that you are going to be representing Patrick Neville. State Minority Leader Patrick Neville has a StopTheMask.com site. Yesterday announced that he was hiring a lawyer to sue the governor over what he's calling the unconstitutional overreach of the mask mandate. And no surprise here, that lawyer is you. What can you tell us about all that?
Well, he wasn't supposed to tell anybody. So I, we're best as well suited to move to this next step and take on this next issue as anybody. And we've got some filings to do for Bandemir on Monday before our court ruling on Tuesday morning. But then we will be filing a lawsuit to stop this mask mandate as well.
Let me back. So we'll go backwards of what I was asking. Bring us up to date on Bandemir and the county, the fight basically to keep them open without all kinds of rules that make it impossible for them to be open.
Well, there have been no deals made, and the NHRA announced publicly that they're postponing the Mile High Nationals. So it's still possible, but seems highly unlikely unless we're successful in knocking down these mandates. And we're just awaiting 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Judge Teresa Russell will give her ruling. And I really appreciate the fact that she decided to take the time to really think this through, because it's a very novel situation. She doesn't really have anything to look
back. Well, it would be easy just to say we'll rely on the experts. These are the experts. There's no indication of corruption or bad motive. Ergo, it's okay. That takes you about 2 minutes to come up with. If you want to consider the issues and decide, is it possible to go otherwise, that's what takes another, takes 10 days or whatever it is.
Emergency, Jefferson County. Well, I'll get back to you.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I think you pointed that out when we talked about this last week, which is an excellent point, right? They're running around with their hair on fire saying people are dying, people have blood on their hands, blah, blah, blah. And yet, you know, the judge clearly understands, no. You know, I mean, if people were dying, I'm pretty sure she would have ruled that afternoon, right? There would have been an emergency thing. And so the fact that she recognizes, as we all do, that people are not dropping dead in the street because they went to Bandimere Speedway on, you know, July 4th. So
the health department basically wants Bandimere to become an enforcement arm for laws that they can't enforce themselves, and the Jefferson County sheriffs won't enforce either.
Right. All right, well, let's talk about the mask.
Well, mandate. Mandate. I mean, yesterday, the World Meter reported there's a grand total of one death in Colorado purportedly
with coronavirus, maybe not of coronavirus.
And we all know that could be anything, that they had it, coronavirus, 3 months ago, and then they died from a heart attack today, and all of that. And somebody called and said, don't laws have to have a rational basis? I mean,
it was huge.
The fact that you decided to impose a mask requirement on the entire state when the grand total of the deaths in a day is one. I mean, why don't we do that for the roads? I mean, why not say no one in the state can get in a car until there are no deaths anymore? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, and the other thing is, you know, in spite of the scope of emergency powers, which seems to be pretty well settled at the moment, that scope is still limited to the ability to quarantine people, to take over, you know, hot spot areas, perhaps.
Right.
Polis is doing it the opposite. He's just taking over the entire state and telling everybody what they have to do.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to imagine that if we get a reasonable judge, regardless of their political bent, but just looks at this as precedent for future events, that they're going to want to uphold this broad sweeping authority.
Well, I can tell you, it will depend on which judge you get. and some will look at it hard. Some will give it.
I'm trying to be politically correct here, Chuck.
Let me talk about that a little bit, because to me it is underlying all of this is why on earth, as you said, the curve has been flattened, right? The hospitals are not overwhelmed. The deaths are down. The cases are down. Everything is down. So number one, why is Polis still able to declare an emergency? To me, there needs to be, I hope, some legislative address of that situation. I know it's a Democrat-controlled legislature.
Right.
But it just, Randy, seems to me, let me ask you this. So we've got Weld County, Elbert County, and El Paso County Sheriff's Departments are saying, you know, it's not, we're not going to worry about this. If you call us, we're not going to haul anyone off to jail for not wearing a mask. But the governor had said it's trespassing, right? Well, trespassing is a crime. So does that mean technically I could go to jail if I don't wear a mask and somebody sees me and they think I should? I mean,
maybe.
The rule is clear. What's public, what's not? Can I wear the mask if I'm eating at the restaurant, or do I have to eat through the mask? I mean, it's so vague, it makes it impossible to follow, even if I wanted to, which I don't.
Well, you know, people are just going to have to decide, and then we're going to have to deal with each individual situation. The thing's only been in place now since midnight last night. I'm not aware of any citations that were given out. We've got two pro-police rallies on Sunday, one in Parker, one in Denver. It'll be interesting to see who is and isn't wearing masks. I don't intend to be wearing one. Maybe I'll get the first ticket. I don't know. But the only way to test these things is to test them. And I think there's going to be a lot of testing going on in the weeks ahead, because we can't survive much longer this way.
No.
Are you bringing this in state or federal court?
Federal.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. There are a couple judges there.
Well, and it sounds like you're still kind of working out. Obviously, if you were a reporter, you would already be done with it. You would have written it. You filed it. You'd be like, okay, we're moving on.
Well, let me ask you.
But as a lawyer, I guess you have to do some research.
Well, no, you don't. You just cut and paste. cut and paste. Let me ask another thing. Well, what's the Republican Party doing about its Jacksonville convention? I mean, they change it every time I see it. And now, you know, for the first two or three days, it'll just be the delegates in the convention hall, which will be cavernous because that's around 2,500 people that are delegates.
Yeah.
And then all the alternates and all the spouses and all the guests, what are they supposed to do for two or three days? Sit in their hotel room and enjoy the air conditioning?
Well, six of us are going to North Carolina to vote to actually nominate the president on that Monday, August 24th.
Yeah.
And they're flying us into Jacksonville. And as you said, delegates only until the actual final day where President Trump makes his acceptance speech. And then delegates will be allowed to have a guest and spouses. You know, I'm not in those conversations, and I'm certainly not talking to health department folks and Governor DeSantis in Florida. But I've just decided that given how fast this is moving, given the incredible political pressure, the balancing and decisions that have to be made, and then still working through local Jacksonville mayor and health right. problems there, I'm just going to let them deal with it. And we're going to do this.
Well, that's because you're Mr. Committee Man. But for some of the rest of us who are not Mr. Committee Man, you fly down to Jacksonville to spend a couple days in a hotel room, and your spouse, I hear, can't even come Saturday night. I mean, you got
to
go
to the mall.
You know, I'll just leave it up to them. If we have nothing to do for days and it's costing us a fortune, that's okay.
Well, but that's what they want. Don't you think, Randy?
Yeah.
I know,
yeah.
Chuck, I mean, to me, this is the thing, and they've done it successfully. And I think that's why it's so important. It was like your lawsuit, fighting for Banner, where you just have to keep pushing back. They've created this fear. Right. And you talk to people, there's no basis for the fear for the most part, but they've created this fear. And this is exactly what they want. They don't want Trump having a victorious rally. They don't want Trump campaigning in person. They don't want Joe Biden having to debate anybody. I mean, they want the economy bad. This is all. Well, I think
why is it okay on Tuesday and Wednesday to have only 2,500 people, but Thursday it's okay to have, I don't know, 10,000 people? Why are you more likely to catch COVID on a Thursday? Does Thursday have a particular COVID spread day opposed to Tuesday and Wednesday? It's ludicrous.
We've got Republican governors that I really thought stood strongly on, you know, against all of the madness, all of the exacerbated,
right.
always reporting increases, but not talking about declining death rates, all of those kinds of things. But we've seen that that's not the case in Ohio and Texas. There are Republicans right. who are caving to public pressure, and it's just a reality. I wish I could do something about it.
Well, you are. You are. You're fighting bad. Hey, let us talk about something fun then.
Not a convention or anything like that. Something fun, like burning somebody alive. You know?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But Sunday, going on the 5th Annual Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. There we go.
There we go.
All right. Tell us. So celebrate Colorado's 6th Annual Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. Randy, tell us what's going on there and what should people do, where can they go, et cetera, et cetera.
I see your name is prominently mentioned there.
You set it up. You should be.
That's because nobody else was willing to come. So
there you go.
Actually, it should be great. We've got Michelle Malkin and Sheriff Steve Reams will be speaking. You guys have been invited. I hope you're going to
come. We're coming. We'll be there.
So we're going to have a group of speakers. The Chief of Police of Denver is telling us we should not be doing this. We need to move the venue or pick a different day.
But the Why?
Time is bad and the imaging is bad. That we're going to get his police officers hurt.
Oh, please. Haven't we heard this before, Randy? Correct me if I'm wrong. Haven't we heard this? Wait, people are going to get hurt if you do this. If you want to protest, if you're Antifa, you can protest at the ICE rally or against ICE. But if you're for ICE, it's dangerous.
My concern, though, is for whatever criticisms anybody ever had about Aurora Police Chief Nick Metz, he stepped up 1,000% for that event.
Yes, he did.
And I don't trust the Denver Chief of Police to do that. So, but we're not planning to come as sitting ducks. You know, we'll have security. There's going to be a ton of bikers there. There's going to be plenty of stuff going on. And there's another event before that for people who just think it's too dangerous to come downtown at 10 a.m. in Parker. The owner of the coffee cabin that was vandalized, his flags stolen, became a national story. It was on Fox and Friends. he is having a prayer vigil for the police right there on Parker Road in front of his spot, Parker and Ponderosa. And there could be hundreds, if not 1,000 people there, because he's got that much sway in the community. So I plan to be there trying to encourage as many of those folks to that it's great to go to suburbia and say thank you. Feel good about yourself. And you should. I mean, everybody should do that. But it's a whole nother story to walk into enemy territory and say, you cannot have this ground any longer.
Right. Well, let's just think about two things that you said. Number one, so you have Denver's police chief saying it's too dangerous for the police to attend a law enforcement appreciation rally. Now, it's not dangerous because of the people there appreciating law enforcement, right? I mean, you'd think they'd be like, thank God, we love you people. Thank God somebody appreciates. But no, he's saying it's too dangerous. And then you said something else there too, for the people who are worried that it's too dangerous to go to downtown Denver. Denver needs to realize what's going on, because those are absolutely, those two things, as insane as they sound, those are true. It is dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, people have to make their own decisions, but I think we decided at the Stand With ICE rally and forevermore that we're not going to be dictated to by domestic terrorists where we go. We've been in the same spot on this same Sunday in July for 5 years in a row. And one of the major things that's going to be missing this year is that for the very first time, including last year, we did have a proclamation from Jared Polis. No proclamation this year for Colorado Law Enforcement Appreciation Day from our governor.
You're kidding. No. Well, that's, well, you know, let me, where is the spot so people know? Because I think you don't want to be, you don't want to be wandering around. I think you're absolutely right about that.
Parking's tough. You know, I'll be riding, so we're just going to load up Harleys right inside the Greek Amphitheater, which is just between the city and county building and Broadway.
Right.
The homeless folks are over there on the stretch between Broadway and Lincoln.
They're on the other side, exactly.
Yeah. And they've kept the Greek Amphitheater area clear. It's messy, but I've been down there. There were no people, no homeless, no anything. They've been keeping that area clear.
Okay.
And I would think that an entire Denver police force could create a perimeter where people who love the police and want them to know that we support good law enforcement,
right,
want to come and celebrate them for a day. I would think they ought to be able to keep that area pretty clear, but we're not counting on anything.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So just so people know, then, so what the there's if you're
Colfax.
Familiar with the area, you've got the Capitol here, then you've got this one part of the park here, and then there's the other park, like you said, it's the Greek Amphitheater.
It's right between the Capitol and the City and County Building.
But it's like you said, it's the one that's closest to the City and County Building, yeah. And so yeah, I would not encourage people to walk through that homeless camp.
No.
You know, I think, so come in, I would guess I would say, from the west, right?
So this is a good point. There are lots of parking lots and stuff. Don't walk alone. Come in groups. Carpool in. If you see bikers, you know, wave.
They're good.
Whistle them down and say, hey, I'd like to walk alongside with you or whatever.
Who would have thought, you know,
yeah.
I come from a time and say, if you see bikers, you know you're safe. You know?
But the cops,
count on the cops. But thank God we've got the law.
We got the bikers.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting Sunday. And I hope it's a game changer for the men and women who are constrained in Denver, because we know that the chief is a politician and he's controlled by politicians. They're allowing what's happening in Denver right now. They could stop it in a minute.
Right.
Being allowed. And it's going to be interesting to see what they allow to happen when we're down there on Sunday.
What about, let me ask just a couple more questions. Your take on what's, we talked about this, and obviously it's all over the place on our show, just the destruction and the graffiti and, like, you know, it looks like you're in some war zone.
They don't water the grass. All the windows are broken.
Have you seen some of those pictures?
Oh, I was down there. I was scouting the area and drove by the Capitol, and it's an embarrassment. I was born in Denver. As a kid, I used to ride down there and just was in awe of these beautiful buildings and the Security Life Building. You could ride the outside glass elevator up and down to the 38th floor observatory. And those are kid memories I have. And I go down there and it looks like something you'd see in New York City or some other hellhole.
No, I was born in New York City. You don't see that in New York City. You see it in Sarajevo after a while and some of the war zones, but...
Well, maybe Seattle is a better example.
Yeah, Seattle's a better example.
Thing to happen in Seattle.
Yeah. It's a mess. Well, hopefully Paulus will act on that too.
I mean, oh, I'm sure he will. You can count on it.
Well, I know. The excuse is like, well, we were just waiting for the vandalism to stop before we started cleaning it up. It's like, okay, we were just waiting for the burglars to quit burglarizing before we started investigating. It's like they aren't going to stop, right? It's like that's what they're all about.
Well, since Beth McCann will not prosecute them if they vandalize it, I mean, you know, it's just kind of a wonderful time. I can't quite think about, you know, even the 60s wasn't quite this
ugly.
This amazing.
And, last thing for me, because I do have to go, but there's now a Facebook event that's put up, and it's called No Parties for the Pigs, Shutdown Pro-Police Rally, 7/19, 2 p.m. Capitol Building. So
there you go.
Oh, man.
They're organizing as well.
All right. We will be there. 3 to 6, Greek Amphitheater Sunday. Yep. Randy, thank you for all you do.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Where can people, I mean, for Bandamere, are they still, they're still doing some, you know, GoFundMe accounts?
Fundraising is still there, yep. We'll pick that back up because we will be filing some affirmative pleadings on behalf of Bandamere this week. And it's just GoFundMe. You can put in Bandamere or God and Country. It'll take you right there.
That's all perfect. Right. Well, thank you again, Randy, and we'll see you. We'll see you Sunday.
9 to noon tomorrow morning, too, on KNUS, right?
Oh, yeah. Great show tomorrow, too. I can remember. Oh, John Fabricatori from ICE. He's now the acting field director. Now he is the field director.
He's a great guy.
Horrific story about someone who the local police department released and went out and did some serious damage. So tomorrow I'm going to kind of devote to law enforcement. Also going to spend a little time with Kurt Schlichter because he's got a new book out about the 20 lies everybody tells about Donald Trump and you. And so we'll talk to some Bandamere's and a lot of calls tomorrow, 7/10 from 9 to noon. Thank you, guys.
That's great.
All right.
Sounds great.
Randy.
Take care, Randy.
Okay, Randy Corbin there. All right. Well, you know, that's interesting. And that's where you need to fight, right? That's what they tried to do with the Support ICE rally, right? They said, oh, they're going to be there. They're trying to stop you. And then turned out there were like, what, 3 people there, right?
Well, there may be more.
There might be more. But why would somebody want to have a rally to stop rallies supporting police? Just keep asking yourself these questions. Why are they lying to us? Why, you know, are they putting out the fake numbers? Why do they not report the good news?
Because they want to take over.
They want to take over. Hey,
and crush
so
you.
We are pleased now. This is a happening show here. It's going to
happen and show.
We've got grassroots activist Jan Cook joining us on Zoom.
And she proudly will be being our substitute on Monday.
On Monday. And I've been busy preparing. But I just wanted to say, is this going to be a 9/21 reunion then on
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want you to know that I was down there a few Sundays ago for an interfaith prayer vigil that they did, and they actually walked from that Greek theater to the Capitol. So we passed young kids, moms and dads, passed where the homeless encampment was, went to the steps of the Capitol. And during the day, keep in mind, these people are working in the evenings. That's when they're doing their stuff, right?
Right.
They're as active during the day. So I didn't find it so bad. And I walked with another girlfriend of mine to that center where they're going to have that police thing. I think it's wise for Randy to tell people to be careful, obviously. But I think if you're there and you park somewhere around that area, I didn't find it to be that bad. And also the Greek theater, really, to Randy's point, it really hasn't been affected as much as
right.
In the park where the homeless are. So just
that's a good point. And to let people know just the lay of the land there. And I think you're absolutely right. I think we have to stop letting fear rule us because that's what they count on, right?
That's right.
And particularly, you know, you don't want to be stupid, but I think if you come in from the West, you won't even pass that, right?
Yeah.
If you come in from the West, kind of on the city and county side, the art museum, kind of where the library is.
Yep.
Yeah, that area.
And personally, I have a special parking spot. I'm not going to share it because I don't.
Oh, come on.
And I will pass them, but I'm okay with that.
Right. There's plenty of odds. Well, let's get first things first out of the way. You're going to be doing our show. What do you have? Have you got, you know, sometimes people are like, I have no idea, but you're a preparer, I know.
Oh, so. Absolutely. I think what's going on with the churches is really akin to religious persecution at this point. And so I've got a gal by the name of Catherine Jean Lopez, who is out of Washington, D.C., National Review Institute, Centers for Thought. They focus on religion, culture, civil society. So we want to talk about what's going on that these protesters have literally moved to burning and vandalizing churches. I think there's been about five, right?
Jan, can we interrupt you just briefly? We've got Patrick Neville on.
Sure.
And we wanted you to stay on.
I don't want to cut
you. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, he great. Just had things he's doing. So hang on. Let's go ahead and bring Patrick up. Patrick is obviously very busy. So thank you, Patrick. Appreciate you calling in. So hello. Good afternoon. Happy Friday.
Patrick Neville, he's the
state minority leader.
State minority leader in the House who's brought a lawsuit. So the man on the hot seat right now. Patrick, good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to be on.
Yeah, thank you. So tell us about your stopthemask.com, what it is you're trying to do there.
Yeah, if you basically go to stopthemask.com and or takebackco.org, we're providing updates there. But, you know, within 30 minutes of hearing about the governor's order, I decided that we can just sit back and make statements on Twitter or, you know, issue press releases that we actually had to act. And so I did retain counsel. That is going to be Randy Corcoran, who's our counsel, and we do plan to sue the governor over this order.
You know what? What's your take on it? First, Polis said, I mean, everything is politics, right? First, he said, oh, we can't enforce it. I disagree with any kind of mask mandate, but in particular, it seems to me it makes sense.
A universal one.
Yeah.
When one person died yesterday, purportedly died, and you do want to say purportedly died because of coronavirus, in an entire state. In an entire state, what? And he's having a mask mandate.
I think what's happened here is he's just bowed down to mob rule.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
With mob rule and the mob saying that we want masks. People like Mike Kaufman himself, extremely disappointed, but not the first time. Probably won't be the last time. But folks like him who say, oh, I don't want to issue the order myself. I mean, I'm in Aurora and I'm the mayor, even though I have the authority to do so, but I want to support an order, so I want someone else to do it for me. And that's essentially what Polis did. I mean, if you take a look at what happened in Douglas County when Tri-County put that mandate on us,
right?
The county actually said, no, we're not going to do that. And they were actually listening to the experts too, by the way, which is
right.
A common phrase of all the leftists.
And so
they're listening
to
the experts. And the experts were saying, Dr. Douglas was saying, Douglas County doesn't need a mask order. So Douglas County opts out. Castle Rock opts out by unanimous vote of town council.
Right.
And then a day or two later, Polis comes in and issues this order statewide. And that's affecting communities. Some of these communities, keep in mind, don't even have a single case of COVID.
Right.
That's
insane.
So he's just enjoying his authoritarian power.
Yeah.
That's what I think. If you had Glendale was voting on it. They tried to use media to shut that down. It didn't work. You've got Castle Rock, Brighton, Parker. I mean, I think that's what happened with Polis too, right? That all of a sudden cities were like, no, we're opting out. And
yeah.
Somebody said, well, we can't have that. We must have just mass mob rule.
Yeah, that's right. Or we can't just have Denver doing it.
Right.
And be the only ones. And let's just make the entire state feel whatever Denver is feeling, even though the entire state looks very different than Denver. And that's what, you know, annoys me so much with these politicians. And I'm sorry, Mike Kaufman, I'm not going to hold back. He's complicit in all this. If he really supported one and wanted one to do one, well then take the political heat and do one yourself as political mayor
or as
a mayor of Aurora and take the political heat. But he didn't want to do that. Instead, it's, oh, I'll partner up with Polis and do this, you know, press conference and support his order. And then when people get mad at me over the order, I can say, well, it's Polis' order, not mine.
Right.
I get sick of this. Politicians trying to abdicate their votes and their authority and their role to other folks so that they can have political cover. I'm tired of it.
Well, listen, we won't keep you because I know you've got a bunch of stuff going on. I appreciate you. Anything else you want people to know? Every time I ask you this, you have something good to say. I mean, anything else you want people to be up to speed on or be keeping their eye out for?
No, I'll just say, yeah, if you go back to takebackco.org, we'll be giving updates on that. Obviously, I'm not the attorney, but I think I hired a pretty good one.
Yep.
And he'll be working on the case, and there's going to be more to follow, so stay tuned there. We are looking to raise funds to make sure that we can cover all that lawsuit. And I have no idea how far this will go up the chain.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know Colorado laws are kind of vague and sketchy, but I want to, you know, carry this as far as I possibly can to fight this. So if that means going
are
beyond,
you coming down to the rally?
State courts, we need to do so.
Are you coming down to the rally at downtown Denver to support the police Sunday?
You know, I don't know. I've been so busy. My wife's actually going to She sent me a text this morning basically saying, you're suing the governor? What?
Can I ask Patrick a quick question? Patrick, sure. Jan Cook, where can people donate? Because I also saw some GoFundMes out there for this. So where do you want people to go to donate to this case?
If you go to takebackco.org, that's the quickest and easiest way to donate. We also have that other webpage up. So, I mean, those are the only two that I know of that are officially, you know, for this cause. Some other folks I know were encouraging or might have set up their own GoFundMes, but I have no idea if they're going to actually make their way to.
What was that first one again, Patrick?
StopTheMask.com, right?
No, I don't think so.
Correct.
Okay.
StopTheMask.com?
Yep.
Yes.
And okay. That's a page that we set up today, and you know, we're trying to raise funds into it now. But we've already secured and retained Randy, and I'm sure he'll do a great job. And we'll figure out the funds later.
But, that's my
good,
theory.
Patrick,
no,
yeah.
Patrick, thank you. Thanks so much. Appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I know this is a hectic day for you.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right,
okay,
all
take
right.
care.
All right, so
we're back with Jan Cook. Jan, you sent out an email. And which had a national strategist, and she had 10 things, I think there were 10, that the Republicans ought to be doing right now. And I couldn't agree more with all 10 of them. But there are a couple, you know, one, get ballot harvesting teams out to Orange County.
Yes.
You kind of go, well, you know, you're probably not going to take, for Trump, going to take California, but if you want to send some ballot harvesters, the place to send them is Colorado.
Yeah.
And then they also said send out 500 workers to Pennsylvania, which I think is a great idea, and another 500 to Colorado, because that's actually what we need. We need ballot harvesters, and we need people on the ground if we have to have any chance. And I understand that's a long shot, but the recommendations were just so on point.
Weren't they? That gentleman, his name is Ali Alexander. He's only, I want to say, in his mid-30s. He's brilliant. And he happens to hang out with people like Jack Prosbiak, if you're familiar with him from OWN. He's very well known on Twitter. Also, Mike Servant, I'm not going to pronounce it correctly because I have to look at his name.
Right.
A whole bunch of these really brilliant minds that
he's controversial himself when you look at him, but
any Republican is going to be controversial. They're effective.
Right. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah. It's like these mainstream media, if you are even remotely effective with a good idea, then you're crazy. Right.
And by the way, I had been working with Ali Alexander on Twitter, forcing this issue for Republicans and politicians and news media to pick up these stories about these burning churches,
right,
and about these crazy restrictions that California, do you know that you cannot sing
in church?
Despite the fact that you are social distanced, despite the fact that there's an empty pew in front of you, they don't want you to sing. They don't want you to recite prayer. They don't want you to meet in groups, Bible studies.
Right.
And they're still restricting how many people can be in the churches. So despite the fact that these churches are following all the social distancing, they still don't want you to sing, recite the prayers. They're basically, I'm saying, I believe this is bordering on religious persecution at this point.
Bordering? It's not bordering.
I agree.
It's clearly right in the mainstream of religious persecution.
Hey, listen, Jan, we've only got about 3 minutes left, so we're going to have to – I have somebody else just text me.
So I have an attorney from the Liberty Council that will be on also that's filing a lawsuit against what I just described to you. So all that information, everything they need to know about what's going on, how to contribute and support these efforts, I will be discussing on your show. So thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for filling in for us on Monday.
Thank you.
Take care.
Jan Cook there. And if Chris Doty is out there somewhere and wants to unmute himself and talk real quick. He just wanted to say a word but we only got about a couple of minutes left here. This show goes so fast.
So
Chris, are you there? I can't tell. He wanted to talk about the rally. Basically, it's Sunday 3 to 6. Support law enforcement. We had somebody else talk to us.
There we go. It took a second. Sorry.
Okay. There you go. Hey, Chris, we've only got about a minute. So what?
I understand. I wanted to mention that we've really gotten organized here in the last day or so. The rally down at the Civic Center Park. We've got law enforcement organizations, veterans organizations. Different bike groups and things like that. So it's really a very secure event. So we're going to have a number of really good guys down there. I drove the Capitol and walked it this morning, and the area that we're in is trouble-free. And you're right, we should probably approach either from the south, north, or west of the facility. But I think we can expect a secure and fun event, and it's something we need to do to support our law enforcement.
Yeah, all right, absolutely. And we will be there. Chris,
thank you for that.
Chris.
Look forward to it. Thank you, folks. Right. Take care. Bye now.
We've been getting a lot of messages from folks, and our good friend Ben says to remember that to join parlor.com is a competitive
Twitter.
And we're
at Chuck and Julie there. Oh, Julie Bonneville it is. Hey, and for those who haven't signed the fee petition and who lived in the North End, you can go to the Boulder County Republican office. You can look that up yourself. Hey, we have so much thank you to Randy, Jan, Patrick Neville, Chris,
everybody who listened, who joins us by Twitter.
Catch the podcast at chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you subscribe to our YouTube channel. That really helps us out.
And we'll report on the police rally when we're next back on. But thanks, everybody. It's been a great Party Friday with you, and we'll keep the party going.